We're visiting again with Todd Sneller, administrator of the Nebraska Ethanol Board. Well, Todd, we had the announcement on Friday from AGP that they were going to idle their plant in Hastings. And as I understand now, that's the seventh plant in the state that has been shut down, at least temporarily. Just wanted to get your reaction to what's going on in the industry right now.
Well, this is a challenging period in that margins are neutral at the best case and negative in many cases due to several different factors. One of those, of course, is that corn inventory remains low and demand remains high, and for that reason, obviously, corn prices, which is the primary feedstock for the ethanol plant, continue to stay very firm, which is good for corn producers, but tougher on processors like ethanol plants. Probably the only silver lining is that the ability of these plants to make a very high quality and very efficient byproduct or co-product in the form of distiller's feeds continues to be a strong advantage for the cattle industry in Nebraska. And so it's important that these plants stay in an operational mode. And so this diminished supply of distiller's feed obviously is of some concern for feeders around the state. The other factor that's a little bit dismaying for many observers is the fact that we've seen about a 50-cent per gallon increase in retail gasoline prices in about the past 2 weeks, and very little upward movement in ethanol prices, which is odd from a market fundamental standpoint. And again, I think it makes it very clear that there is still an awful lot of control on our liquid transportation fuel supply by the oil industry. And so those factors, when combined, have created a very difficult environment for ethanol plant profitability. And as a result, many of the plants have either pulled back production or, in a few cases, gone into an idle status.
And is this situation even tougher in Nebraska with, of course, the continued high demand for corn from the cattle feeding industry?
Well, I think many of the feeders in the state have recognized that perhaps one of the most efficient things to do with corn inventory is to run it through an ethanol plant first, particularly in an environment where we have drought conditions that have left very poor quality forage materials around. Many feeders have acknowledged, as have a number of ethanol board members who feed cattle, that were it not for this access to modified and wet distillers feeds, many of the sources of roughage that are around, even those in short supply, would be very difficult and inefficient to feed. So this, in fact, I think has given an opportunity to feed materials that otherwise would be difficult to add to the feed inventory. So there's some benefit there. But again, the market fundamentals for ethanol supply and demand really are based on the demand for liquid transportation fuels and the utilization of corn at the front end. As long as we have a soft demand for the finished product and a strong demand for the inputs, we're going to remain in a fairly difficult and challenging environment in terms of profitability.
We talked to Iowa State University farm management specialist Steve Johnson a few weeks ago. He predicted that roughly half of Iowa's ethanol plants could be idled by July, was his prediction. Do you foresee more of that happening in the state here as we go into the summer?
Well, at this point, of the 24 operational plants, seven of those are in an idle status. Now, several of them are in a status that would allow them to respond pretty quickly if market conditions improved. Others have literally gone into a shutdown mode, which will take a longer period of time and signals that they don't expect a near-term rebound in terms of operations. So I don't know if it'll be half, but we're at 25% at this point in Nebraska. So certainly that trend would be in that direction. And that's obviously troublesome, again, from the standpoint of these rural jobs in many cases are at risk, and that's troublesome. That's a skilled labor force that's been put together in small communities, and that will be challenging to resurrect that sort of a skilled management and operations group. In addition to that, obviously, the distiller's feed supplies get in shorter supply, and as a result of that, that puts additional hardship on the livestock feed sector. We're also in a position, I think, of seeing many of the communities in the state as a whole that have become dependent upon the economic benefits and economic activity that are induced by ethanol production and sale in the state. And so I think we're going to notice a number of adverse consequences of this. And again, it points to the need to push for additional demand of ethanol fuels in order to try to stimulate some of those economic benefits that we recognize as being important to the state's economy.
You did mention, I think, in another interview that some of the plants are maxing out production as some of these other ones are shutting down to try to meet demand.
I think in a couple of locations we've seen several factors that are very important. One of those is that some of the plants have adopted a trend for extracting oil from their processing stream. That corn oil has a significant value in the market today. There's a number of different markets into which that oil goes, and so the demand is very strong there, and the value of that oil is high. So that's been a difference maker in the plants that are doing oil extraction. In addition, we've seen a number of the plants that are located in areas where livestock feed demand is very high tend to have a good value for that co-product, and that helps offset the higher corn prices to some extent. In addition, we've seen some of the plants that have been good at adopting some of the best practices and most efficient new technologies that emerge over time and have been very disciplined in terms of making sure that they don't have a large debt service requirement. And so that combination of factors is very important. And those who've adhered to some of those operating principles and who are in locations where they're able to maximize the value of their co-products from the plant are doing somewhat better, and as a result of that are continuing to operate at or slightly higher than the rated capacity.
So I guess looking a little bit longer term, I mean, is there just more production capacity in the ethanol industry than we need? I mean, are we just going to have to see some of these plants go to the wayside?
The actual operational capacity that was put into place by the start of 2012 somewhere in the neighborhood of about 14.3 to 14.5 billion gallons. And current ethanol demand is probably closer to somewhat over 13 billion gallons, but probably not up to 13.5. In addition to that, last year we did not see many Brazilian ethanol imports. And this year we are seeing a fairly significant volume of Brazilian sugarcane ethanol imports, primarily destined for the California market because of a low-carbon fuel standard out there that discriminates against corn ethanol but gives additional benefits to sugarcane-based ethanol. As odd as that may seem for a U.S. state to embrace that policy, that's in fact what's at play. So those combination of factors have made it more difficult in terms of maximizing value for the ethanol itself, so that demand is soft. And so the result is that we have a capacity that can't be fully used because of the imports. We have a bit of a softened market for U.S. gasoline and ethanol because of fuel efficiency and fuel economy, which has been very helpful. But again, when that market is met by imports, that tends to undermine our U.S. production base and create an environment that we see today. And as a result, we're probably going to see U.S. ethanol production capacity at or under 13 billion gallons in 2013, which will be a fairly low level compared to the last 2 years.
And there's been a lot of discussion the last few days about cellulosic ethanol again with EPA standards and that court case that we heard about. As far as cellulose goes, I mean, is 2013 going to be a breakout year? But again, is there going to be the demand for that product?
Well, this is the challenge, obviously. I applaud the Environmental Protection Agency for standing firm on some of the demand factors that are in that renewable fuel standard because it is the law of the land, and to undermine it that at this point would really adversely affect investor confidence. We continue to see good activity in a number of states, including Iowa and Nebraska, by prestigious international companies who are moving forward with the actual development of cellulosic ethanol in a commercial environment. In many cases, the primary spot for locating these facilities is adjacent to conventional corn ethanol plants, in large part because of the infrastructure that exists. So we are optimistic that Nebraska will get to see some of that activity as time goes by. We are continuing to work with a couple of international companies who've expressed keen interest in locating at Nebraska locations. But the key issue here is making sure that there's a public policy that's going to continue to stimulate demand for those fuels and to make sure that we have a marketplace that can accommodate that additional volume. And so that will remain one of the key challenges in 2013, both on a public policy front and on the market development front.